Man, this is a day of celebration. Pastor Jim, last 15 years, what they've done for this church family, what they've done for me and for us. I'd said this last week, but a couple things just kind of for us to get this out of the way. You'll see two QR codes on the screen here in just a minute. One of those is a newsletter that the Moss family will have. If you want to sign up for that, you can follow them on their journey as they're launching the coaching business, as they're moving. It's just kind of a way to keep connected there. And the other one we put up there last week as well. If you want to share a prayer, a blessing, a story of how they've impacted you, I know they would love that. This is something that we will collect all of these stories, all of these prayers, whether it's something that, you know, you may have known them for a couple months, you may have known them for the last 15 years, and just I know these are things like when you're in a moment of just trusting and believing God and stepping out of faith. How many know things like this, going back and reading these, they matter? They just remind you of God's faithfulness, of the impact that they've had. So we would encourage you to do that. What I want to do this morning is kind of pick up right where we left off last week. And I'm gonna throw a curveball here, right? Let's just throw, me and you in 15 years, we have been through and seen a lot of things, haven't we? Do you guys know that earlier this week, as I was preparing for communion, I thought to myself, you know what I'm going to read? I'm going to read the story from Luke chapter 7 about the woman who walked into Simon the Pharisee's house. And you know how uncomfortable those people in that room were? And you guys got to experience that this morning, didn't you? Isn't it funny how God works? I got to stop for a minute. Because I just think there's moments where it's like, you know, we kind of have our normal kind of routine and then something disrupts it. And I think that day in that room, that's one of my favorite stories, it would have been a very disruptive atmosphere. You know?
Yeah. No, that's good. You know, it's funny that I was planning on saying this at the end, but, you know, really one of my hopes and prayers for us as a church is that we would be a church of discomfort, you know? And so what I mean by that is, you know, when we started City Church, it was all about the Great Commission, like going and making disciples. And, you know, as Matt and I were out cycling, I mean, everywhere we went, we were looking for people, you know, to make disciples. And, you know, there's this just arc of, man, that was our one intent. And I think the thing that happens as churches just naturally grow and mature, we kind of shift from coming from a Great Commission church to being a Great Commandment church. Neither of those approaches are incorrect. They're both beautiful in nature. But I think my hope is this, is that we do both continually. You know, we continue to live out our kingdom foundations and being a church of that's discomfortable. You know, it's like uncomfortable. Why? Because we're on mission.
That's right.
To reach people that are lost and aren't like us, don't look like us, don't act like us. Yeah. That was beautiful. I actually loved everything that happened in here this morning, so. I was telling my wife, I love this.
Well, it's the least we could do on your last week. So
I don't work here anymore, so it was just enjoyable, you know? You handle that beautifully, by the way, so well done.
Let me say this. You guys, I think, know this. God is not a God of disorder. He's a God of order, and there's a place for that. But I think there is something that we have become so, like Jim said, addicted to the comfort that God so often wants to get us out of the normal places in order to move us to places we've never been before. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, I've been praying over that the last few months as we moved into our strategic calendar and our strategic planning time. It's like, God, don't let us, now that we're in this space and it's so easy just to kind of turn inwards and have our programs, don't let us lose the passion for risk-taking, spirit-led risk-taking. Amen? Not to go take risks for risk's sake. But how many know when you are taking risk, you are trusting in God, right? So you don't always live on the edge of everything. Sometimes, but when you pull back, there's this tendency to stay back. Oh, I trusted you back in 2009 when we moved here and we planted City Church. I don't want to trust you again at that level, but it's the risk that, like, you see the hand of God move, right? It's the discomfort. And so often I think it's those places that God's moving us to. That the church, and especially the church in America, that we reject. I don't think we can reject that. I think we got to lean into it.
No, that's really good. I had lunch with Brian Beam this past week, and we were talking about the video, you know, we used to show of launching people out of the seats, and we need to bring that back. That's such a good one.
It's true. Yeah, something we've tried to kind of build our church upon is this idea of helping people fulfill God's call in their life. And I know that's something for you right now as you're stepping into this next season of life. Like, you've helped us build that culture here. But talk about that a little bit, about, you know, moving from success being what I accomplish to success being what I help others accomplish. How you made that transition?
Yeah, I honestly hadn't thought a lot about that until, 14, 15 years ago when I got my first coach. Brad, I think, is in the room. He's sitting over there. So Brad Sprague was my first coach. And one of the first things that we did is we walked through my story, and I began to see all the people that significantly impacted my life up until that point. And it was just, I mean, these incredible men and women of God over and over and over and over again. And I just began to realize, man, there's something here, and I'm to do something with it.
Yeah.
And I think that's key as all of us look at, you know, kind of the arc, the story of our life. It's like, you didn't get to where you are by yourself. You know, nobody's self-made. And at some point, you know, I think God is leading us to turn around and say, hey, now I'm going to help other people become everything that they have. And so what does that look like? It's using our resources and our skills and our talents to turn around and say, hey, it's not about me anymore. It's about you going further. And, you know, and those of you in the room that are parents, you get that, you know, because you want your children to succeed and have everything that is available to them that you had and more. And then getting to do that for a church and just large groups of people is just such a powerful thing.
Yeah, I can't help but think, and you guys already know this, how tragic it would be in your life to get to the end and see all of the accomplishments and realize that nobody went on this journey with you. That it's really the people that matter. It's not the trophies. It's not the achievements. If you look back and it's like, who did I impact? Who did I make a difference in their life? Like, that is a legacy, right? And I think it does take some wisdom and maybe some years to realize, okay, I've accumulated some of these things that the world says you need to accumulate, and it still doesn't fulfill the deepest part of me. So what do I do with that? Well, maybe you realize that you weren't made for that. You were made for more. Yeah. You know, there's something else to do.
Yeah, I began to realize even early on at you know, winning, you know, championships and things like that in sports. And, you know, I talked a little bit about this last week, is even completing the, I used to do triathlons. And so I completed a half Ironman. And I remember at the end, I was like, that's it. And it was so like, I'd worked so hard for this, yet there was this like strong sense of disappointment of, I guess I'm going to have to sign up for another one next week because I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
You know, and so that stuff is just, it becomes empty.
It is. Really does. It's almost like you end up chasing. Yeah. Like you're just, and it's never enough. It's like the spring that you drink from that just doesn't fulfill until you get to that place in your life where now it's like, what can I do to impact the kingdom? Like, who am I impacting? Who am I pouring out? That's just this sweet spot in life where you're like, okay, that's what I want to give my life to. You know, I mean, it's funny because we were driving in the car yesterday home from a baseball tournament, and I was telling my son, I was like, hey, you can win on the baseball field, because there was a coach that was acting like an idiot yesterday. Happens every week. Welcome to Little League Sports. And I was telling Jackson, I was like, you can win in a game and lose in life, right? And just trying to talk about, like, it's not just winning and losing. Like, of course we want to win. Nobody wants to show up and lose, right? Yeah, but it's more than that. It's like, how did you treat somebody else? Like, what do people remember about you? Did you have an impact on somebody today? What were the words that you're spoken, right? At the end of the day, there's no wins and losses on that, but it determines everything, you know, and just shifting the mindset from what am I doing for me to who am I impacting? Let's shift to this real quick. You had a significant part of shaping the culture of City Church the last 15 years. When you look around, the people, the mission, the culture, and I know you already kind of alluded to this, but what aspect of the church, City Church today, makes you most proud or joyful to have been a part of shaping?
Yeah, goodness. We somehow were just able to do a lot with a little. And what I mean by that is, you know, probably, I don't know, 10 years ago, we began developing leaders, really discipling people in groups. And that has turned into really hundreds of you that lead the entire church. And so that's just been a beautiful thing to watch of, we still have a very lean staff, too lean. There's a lot of hires that need to happen around here. but that will happen. But, you know, it's been beautiful because so many of you have just stepped up and led in significant ways. And we still need that as a church. But I think that's the thing that I look at and I'll be like, man, that is incredible that so many of you have said yes to whatever God has uniquely called you to do, whether it be leading in kids or, yeah. you know, youth. You know, none of the, I don't think anybody that was on stage this morning was paid, you know, so it's like a lot of people don't realize that of just like, it takes a whole lot of people saying yes to continue to develop and change a community. And yeah, I think that's been a neat thing of just, yeah. we've been able to do a lot with a little, you know?
Yeah. I think one of the greatest tragedies in the church today is how many people show up every week to watch a couple people use their gifts. I think that's a tragedy in the American church. You look at Ephesians 4 and how God has given gifts and callings and roles to the body of Christ, and yet how many people sit on them? We talked about that at the beginning when we started all of this. Like, how do we help people discover God's call and then launch them out to be the body of Christ, where they're using their gifts and not just watching us use ours? And there are times I feel like we don't do that well enough. But I do say this, you know, there's a lot of places where everybody is paid because that's the only way that we have a ton of volunteers here that give of their time that are using their gifts to build up the body of Christ, trying to be good stewards of the finances that we have. I think we have tried to create a culture that says everybody has something to give. So it's not, do I have something, it's where. And then how can I give it? You know, how? And I know Jim has been a huge part of, I mean, hundreds, if not thousands of people graduating through CLA, developing leaders. Most of our ministry directors and leaders at our church today all came through City Leadership Academy. The ministry intensive that Jim has led here in our church for years. How many graduating classes do we even know? I don't even have that number.
I think there's been 13.
Yeah.
I believe.
So 13 graduating classes of anywhere from, I would say, 15 to 40 people in each of those classes who are going on this journey of how do I lead myself, how do I lead another person, and how do I lead a team? And like a significant six-month intensive journey. Just like show of hands, if you're in this room and you've been through CLA, let me see your hand. Yeah, a lot of people. And I can't tell you how many times people come to me and they're like, you wouldn't believe how that six-month journey or five-month journey set me on a new trajectory. So I want to honor you with that. So grateful, and I know all these people in the room are grateful for your investment there. Often, there's some other quiet behind-the-scenes moments that deeply shape life and ministry. Looking back, what are some of these moments that you would say deeply shaped who you are today?
Yeah. You know, growing up, I mentioned this last week, just an addicted achiever, and so it was all about the doing, which there's a lot to do when you're starting and leading a church. But there's been a significant shift. About 10 years ago, I brought on a spiritual director, and so we've had monthly conversations now for the last decade, and so just this slow shift from doing to being, and so what I mean by that is just like this abiding space of like, you must be before you do. And so I had that script flipped for most of my life of I would do and then I would get exhausted and then I would be like, oh yeah, I need to go, like, go be with Jesus to refuel. Whereas now it's the other way around. And so goodness, I mean, there's so many of those quiet moments yeah. of God just speaking to me. You know, I had so many of those even this past summer during my sabbatical, just walking and praying every day. And I mean, spending a whole lot of time in prayer. Learning too of just Prayer is, and some of you, I don't know that you may fully understand this, but prayer to me isn't even about talking to God so much anymore. It's just being present with him and listening to whatever he has to say. And I don't say that as I've arrived at any space. It's just something that I've learned of just like this contemplative space of, yes, I have things to ask of God. Yes, I have hopes and dreams that I want to see accomplished. But more than anything, I want to hear what he has to say and speak to me. Because there's always something that we're missing that God wants to do in and through us. So,
yeah, love that. I know if you were here last week, we started this conversation, you're going to be like, Pastor Matt, you said the same thing. So let me say the same thing again. When you look back on your life and your journey, I think what I've learned with most leaders, the most significant shifts in their life have come through pursuing people who are ahead of them on the journey and inviting those people into their life. I know that sounds super, super simple, but I look back on my life, if I had not gone after certain people who I aspired to be like, whether in their marriage or leadership or spiritual formation, and I had not invited them into my life, where would I be? I know Tim, for you, your spiritual director. I mean, Kevin's been my spiritual director now for 7 years. And I could name different men who have invited, like, without those individuals. So I just want to encourage you, never stop that process. Never stop seeking out men and women of God and inviting them into your life. People who can invest in you and speak truth and life into you. It has such a significant impact. You kind of already, go ahead.
I want to add one thing is a lot of times you hear like what Pastor Matt just said, but you may think like God brings somebody to mind, but like a couple things, it may be intimidating to ask them, or you may like begin to tell yourself there's no way that they would say yes or they would take the time. And I'll just encourage you, like, make the ask anyway, even in fear and trepidation. Because I have a good feeling that they're probably going to say yes to that.
Yeah, that's jim@citychurchtulsa.com.
That bounces now. That doesn't actually work.
580.
Matt@citychurchtulsa.com.
I only say that because you know it's about to happen, so. You already kind of alluded to this. I don't know if there's anything you want to add. But when you think about the future of City Church, what are your hopes and prayers for us in this next chapter? What would you say to your City Church family as you transition out of this role?
Yeah, I think just to continue, keep your hearts open to whatever God wants to do in and through you, even if that looks very uncomfortable or uncertain. Just trust the Lord. And so much of that flows out of abiding and just being with him, resting in him. It may look really weird and uncomfortable and uncertain, but it's like God knows what he's up to. And just trust him in that. What does it look like for you to go and make disciples of where you live, work, play, and learn? There's always somebody that needs you. And you are enough. You don't need to go get a degree in theology to be a disciple maker. You only need to say yes.
That's right.
And open up your Bible and begin to read it together and say, what does this teach us about God? What does this teach me? What does this say about me? And is there something I need to do with this? And, where is God leading you? What does that obedient step look like? And that is my hope for sure, that we would just continue to be a disciple-making church that welcomes people in that are very different than us.
Love it. I love it. I kind of wanted to end this part before we're just going to transition to a time just kind of blessing the Moss family and just praying over them. And I believe in the power of sending people out. Amen? And anointing them to go, especially when they've done the right things and they've transitioned well. And what a blessing to be sent. Amen? And that's what we're going to do this together. This morning, but many of you know this story. I've shared it many times before. I'm not going to make eye contact with him so I can make through this. In fact, I'm going to look over here to you guys if that's okay. When we moved to Tulsa to plant this church, it was a very messy process. We got into some of the weeds about that last week, but I was 24 years old at that time, and still growing as a leader. I've not even started this story yet. I can't even make it through it. And we were going through a lot of difficulty. And so I remember there was a moment on Riverside where we stopped our bikes, and Jim looked at me and he said, "Hey, you're our guy for this, and I'm gonna follow you." And how many know sometimes in certain seasons of your life, I'm gonna make it through. A few words make all the difference, amen? Somebody who believes. And so that was significant for me. Him at, what are you, 33? Something like that? Yeah. Mid-30s. Looking at me, a 24-year-old, who God had called me, but how many know when you're 24, you make a lot of mistakes? And there's a lot of insecurities that you're still working through. And he just said, "You're our guy. I'm going to follow you." And he has the last 15 years. He's had my back. Done things behind the scenes that you guys will never know, and some things that I'll never even know that he's taken care of to serve this body, to serve this vision, to serve us. Not only that, but he's done it with faithfulness and integrity. And how many are grateful for that? How many are grateful for that? I'm grateful for that. Yeah. One of the things that I actually had made for you is just kind of a memory box, and you can use it however you want. It's beautifully done. Man, Matt Bain in our church did an incredible job. On the front of it, I want you to put this in a place where you see it. Because I think on the front of it, on the top of this, it says, "Your seeds of obedience have produced a harvest of kingdom impact." Man, we have to do this twice today. I think when I think about the legacy that you've left here, the seeds that have been sown that you'll never see, all the harvest, all the lives, all the disciples made, all the churches that have been planted. I do know this. I also have Matthew 13, 31 through 32 on here. And this box is full of mustard seeds. There you go. Jesus told them a parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches." How many know small acts of faith and obedience can have ripple effects for the kingdom? And your obedience and your seeds have had a ripple effect. I hope this box is just a continual reminder of all of the seeds of your leadership, of your faithfulness, of your legacy that you've planted here in and through this place. My life, for us, we are forever grateful. Forever grateful of your life and your family. So give that to you. Actually, I'm gonna keep it because I gotta do this again. I'm gonna invite Tavi, the boys, if you would come up with me. Amber, Lindsay, go ahead and come up here. Some awesome boys here. Noah, you had a birthday this week, dude. Happy birthday. What are we, nine? Yeah. Nine? Happy birthday, buddy. Yeah, come on. A couple of just small gifts we have for the family is there's a photo album, photo book here that we have for you guys. There is a reception today. I forgot to say that earlier, from 12:30, just to come and go. You're welcome to stop by today. You can fill out the book, or you can also use the QR code just as a reminder. We have a little gift for the family as you guys move. Fort Worth annual zoo pass. Come on now. The Fort Worth Zoo is awesome. Everybody's got to have one of those when you live close in the area. The boys, here's just a gift for each of you guys. Just a little personalized thing that we got you. Just because we love you. You will always be family at this place. I'm going to invite all you guys. Would you stand to your feet with me across this room? Some of our staff, if you're in the room, our elders, our trustees, I've invited a few of you guys, and if you join me, just to come up here and surround them. you could grab that microphone, babe, right there. Who's the first service? Brad? Brad, you're in first service here. I can't remember. Too emotional. What I want Brad to do is and Brad, you've had such a significant impact on the Moss family. I just thought it was appropriate. I want you to prayer blessing. And then to end today, I'm just going to surround them and anoint them with oil and just release them into this next calling and season. If there's anything you want to add or if you want to say something, go for it.
Yeah, so I have the gift of encouragement. Marty has a gift of intercession. So I'm going to speak some words of life to you that God gave me this morning from his scriptures. The first one's Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. He planted a church. He was with Paul in prison. And wow. Proverbs 20, verse 6, many a man claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man who can find? 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust reliable men who will be qualified to teach others. That's four generations. And I'm quite certain you have four generations of disciples, Jim.
Yeah.
You have been a great disciple, so you've become a great disciple maker. And the last one, your life verse, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us.
Yeah.
Would you all pray along with us?
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, thank you for today to celebrate Jim and Tabby and their boys. Thank you for the opportunity to express in front of so many who know and love them how much they mean to us. Thank you for every hour Jim has poured himself into making City Church all that it is today. Thank you for every project, every sermon, every meeting, every person he has invested himself in. And thank you for every meeting, every project, every meal shared, every announcement, every friendship that Tabby has invested herself in. Father, we cannot thank you enough for all the ways the Mosses have poured themselves into building your kingdom here at City Church from the first days on until now. And thank you that you have gone before them. You go with them now to Mansfield, and you have already gone ahead of them to continue to show them the good plans that you have for them, to give them a future and a hope. And we bless Tabby and Jim, Liam, Noah, and Eli physically and spiritually as they prepare to leave.
Yeah. I'm going to pray a prayer blessing. Liam, Noah, Eli, can't wait to see how God uses you in significant ways as you grow up. I want you to know that you're getting to witness the obedience of your mom and dad. And how there's nothing better in life than to be obedient to the leading of what God tells you to do. Amen? We love you guys so much. And you're always family here. Father, we thank you for the Moss family.
Yes.
And today, God, we anoint them for the next assignment. God, for the next season. God, we thank you for your hand upon their life. God, their faithfulness in every season. Father, I thank you for Jim. Cover him, Lord. God, send him into the things that you've prepared for him. Father, I thank you for Tabby. Lord, bless her, God. God, continue to develop the gifts that you have given her that they would overflow in this next season. A spirit of faith, God, on the Moss family. God, that they would just sense your presence and your nearness to them in everything they do, Father God, that you would go before them. In those moments where the enemy comes, God, to deceive or to bring their eyes down, Father, would you lift their head up? God, lift their eyes up on what you're doing, God. Your hand all around them, Father. We send them into this next place, God. Lord, I thank you that as they have honored you, as they've honored this house and this family, God, that you would honor their obedience and this next step of faith, Father.
God, I thank you, Father, for these amazing boys. God, I thank you for Liam, the call of God upon his life. God, continue to go before him. Father, I thank you for Noah, Lord. I thank you for all the plans that you have for him. God, that he will significantly impact your kingdom, Father. God, that you will do amazing things and through his life, Father. I thank you for him. God, I thank you for Eli. God, I thank you for his life. I bless him, Father. God, I pray that as he leaves this place, God, he would go in your power and your anointing, Father. Thank you for them. God, we bless you, Father. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Awesome. That's all I got. That's all I got to get through here. We'd love for you to stick around a little bit. You can say hi to the Moss family now and bless them, or you're welcome to come back later for 12:30 for this time with them. If you're a first-time guest, we'd love to meet you in the welcome room. Next Sunday, I will be starting a brand new series through the book of Judges. So that's going to be exciting. It's a very uplifting book. It's going to be great. Uplifting time. Thank you for being here today. Let's end like we do every week. Go live it out wherever you are.
Be the gospel.
Be the gospel.